The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, August 9th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we have a on-the-clock Guardian Radio AM mashup Wednesday, man down. And the topic of today is, are we culturally nasty as a Bohemian people? It's a strong topic, and I'm not sure if it is deserving for Bohemians in general. But I want to know that we, since we are experiencing some things, right? Is it that it's a part of our culture that is causing it, right? Or is it something that we just ignoring and having fixed over the period of time? Let me bring up a case in point. It's hot. When I say it hot, I mean it hot that we sweating and that we feel the temperature, especially with BPL. I throw that in for you, Aaron. BPL with the lights turning off all the time. But we tend to sell food in back of cars. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be a part of our culture. Or is it a part of our culture? Opening up a back trunk where we peep the tire, the engine, or the oil engine, and we sell food, and Bohemians are prepared to buy the food.
See, I don't like that you place this particular example in this particular segment, because you would suggest, it seems like you're suggesting that we just sell food out of the back of the car because we lazy and we nasty.
Well, why do we sell food in the back of the car?
Because the rent is too high. Mm. I want you to know that people who are attempting to operate small local food establishments are paying rents that are determined by inputs that are not just local. In fact, it extends to the broader housing crisis. Rents are not determined by what Bahamians are able to pay. Rents are determined by what anybody in the world is able to pay. And so people sell food out of the back of the car because it costs too much money to rent a brick and mortar to sell lunch.
So not because we're nasty, but then how do you explain shanty towns? Inside the newspaper, right?
I just explained it. Shanty towns.
Well, let me make this point. Inside the newspaper, we had the judge ordered that three of the shanty town houses be demolished.
Right.
To this day, months later, it has not been demolished. It's a part of who we are, right? Right. Just recently in Florida, the most sophisticated, nearest U.S. state to us, Florida, had leprosy. I don't know what a leprosy is, but I understand it's a top of your skin. And I'm trying to say that we're a tourist destination where a number of our tourists come from Florida. Mm-hmm. And then we have a community that lives here inside the Bahamas who lives in shantytown, who we are comfortable with because we haven't reacted in terms of squashing it, right? There's no effort. That's why, and I brought up the case because it's been months later and there's no effort to correct this. And I'm trying to say, if we are culturally nasty, what happens if there is an outbreak of cholera in the Bahamas?
Okay, so pause.
Service them in Princess Margaret Hospital.
Pause. That's a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
First of all, as a young person growing up, I could always tell people I'm proud to be a Bahamian because my government has guaranteed universal access to healthcare, education, and to water. Right? It's because of this universal access to water that we don't experience the outbreaks that we should, given the dynamics, the housing, the social dynamics, the density in migrant populations and in poverty-stricken populations, right? That's why we've been so fortunate. That's why we've been so healthy, because people know what to do when they have access to water. The problem isn't that people don't know what to do. The problem is the lack of access to water and the proper resources. And I think the same thing flies across the board for this conversation. We're going to start at the beach. We are beach-going people. In fact, we invite millions of foreigners to come here every day to go to, but not one single beach in this archipelago has the proper trash storage infrastructure in place. Not one single beach. And before you call Bahamians or Haitians or Filipinos or any migrant or any white migrant that we call tourists and expats, and call any of them nasty, remember that you having a Emancipation Day holiday weekend, you know people are coming to the beach, you don't have sufficient garbage bins available, they're not properly spaced, you don't assign staff to be on the beach 20, as long as the beach is open, staff is there walking up and down, you won't give them enough bags to pick up the amount of trash, you won't send the truck to empty the bins in the middle of the day because
there's a reason for that, Aaron, and the reason for that is because we're culturally nasty. A number of these beaches has no bathrooms. You know the reason why they don't have no bathroom? Because Bahamians are prepared to go do they do in the bushes.
Okay, thank you.
And if they're prepared to do aggravate and put petition the government to put bathrooms there, that means it's something wrong with us.
Let me.
Why are we prepared?
Let me respond because I'm willing to compromise.
To leave a deposit on the tree.
Let me respond because I'm willing to compromise. Somebody is nasty. I suspect that they are part of the political class, the people who make the decisions. Don't you dare say that it's the Bahamians that are nasty, that it's a Bahamian that looks at a pristine, properly cleaned bathroom and decides, no, I would rather defecate in the bush. Not one Bahamian man would rather expose himself to the mosquitoes, the sand flies, the centipede, then go into the safety of a properly cleaned bathroom. Now, we could talk about some things. People will opt to use the bush when the bathroom is nastier than the bush. People will opt to use the bush if the last 20 times they tried to use the bathroom, I'm not going to take the risk of running short in my shorts. I'm going to go straight to the bush because it's likely the bathroom is not
locked.
Working. It's not
locked.
Open.
It's locked.
It ain't got no toilet paper in it. It ain't got no soap in it.
I see we have a caller here. Let's pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green and Mr. Nui. You know I'm on fire, right? Miss Green.
Yes, sir.
How many times have me and you discussed this on the radio in the past 8 years?
Multiple times.
All right, so anyone who frequents the Fish Fry, I've said years ago, I've seen young, beautiful ladies. They are police in the bathrooms where the bathroom is closed at 12 o'clock. Nature doesn't call after 12. And this has been going on for decades. So the only people that can be nasty is the politicians because people have been advocating for this BS for a long time. Even just the whole area of the Fish Fry has been degraded. Just the whole aesthetics, okay? And this is how the country is running. And so when I hear this conversation, I just walked in and heard it, and I just became irate automatically because this was discussed on the radio over and over, and the lack of public bathrooms. And just to show you what they think about us, you know, you go in the bush, and but what I'm saying is, Aaron, this been going on for too long. So what I'm saying is, as long as the masses, or you know, I like to use another word that rhymes with masses, right? Because that's what we are, okay? As long as we don't confront these pompous, mindless, heartless jokers, right, in numbers, they will continue to defecate over us. Because what I'm saying is, this is going on for so long. It's at the hospitals, it's everywhere. Nothing is functioning. You even at the Fish Fry, the bathroom, there are people willingly, like a policeman is in the bathroom, policing the bathroom, locking the door at 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Young ladies have to go and urinate. I've seen it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what? How can we solve this?
Experience it even.
Minister of Environment. Man, we'll be paying these jokers for it. Let me tell you something. This country in one big mess.
Listen, let's...
God bless.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's,
thank you very much,
let's put it on the Minister of Tourism, right? When people shame you and try to convince the world that you're nasty from using the bush as opposed to acknowledging that they can't maintain the bathrooms that they are obligated to maintain, they are the nasty ones.
But guess what?
Yes.
What if a tourist wants, and they go live and start to talk about the cleanliness or lack of cleanliness of that particular bathroom, you see how quickly you get those bathrooms cleaned and manned and properly maintained. Why does it take a foreigner to come and shame us, rather than having the infrastructure in place for our own people.
You trying to invite, we had 5 million tourists from January to the end of June. You had 5 million tourists. What did they do when they had to use the bathroom? Did they have to go into an establishment and inquire whether they had to purchase something to use the bathroom? Let's put it at the top of tourism. Since all of us have to bend down to the tourism god, since all of us have to monthly make a contribution, pay tax to tourism, why is it if you won't do it for Bahamians, why is it you won't do it for your premier product?
Let's do a plug. Bay Street now has 3 public bathrooms, well-manicured public bathrooms. There's one inside the Straw Market that people come and use. It's open. Now, the Port has their own complex of bathroom facilities. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Rawson Square. I just happened to experience Rawson Square bathroom, and I was very impressed with that. And for a place where tourists complained that we had no public facilities for them to use, mm-hmm. it's something to commend. At least the Ministry of Tourism has heard them. Now we have need to move to all of the beaches because the number of beaches.
Hold on, we ain't finished with town yet.
Bay Street has bathrooms.
We've not finished with town yet because 3 public bathrooms is not sufficient to accommodate the tourists.
5 million tourists.
That's not sufficient to accommodate the tourists. What about Bahamians who are forced because of political interference in governance, right, to take unnecessarily circuitous and long winding. You could imagine to get from out west to out east, I got to catch 2 or 3 buses, and there's no bathroom in the midway point. I see we got call up. Yeah.
Monarch, your bathroom ready yet? Is it fixed yet? No?
Only the one. Let me take a moment to gather myself and put my words together correctly.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Aaron, again.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, you guys talking about the bathroom on the beaches. What about the bathrooms on the park of the inner city communities? Somehow, bathroom. I'm in the Bamboo Town area.
Mm-hmm.
The park, one of the parks there have a bathroom that has been useless for years.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? I think it was 52 who was talking about the politician. I won't go as far as the politicians, to be honest with you, because remember now, those guys change every 5 years
mm-hmm.
in recent times. But my thing is the government workers that daily to work these restrooms and refuse to work them.
Yeah.
How about them? Because the guys on Montague, I could tell you, you go there on their lunch break, you order lockers, that door locks, and they come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You understand me? Mm-hmm. So I won't go as high as the politicians. I guess I could say I can lay some blame to them because they're not putting pressure on their PSs to make sure that the persons under them do their job properly.
Or the policies, right? The policies that define what their jobs are, that they are relevant, right? And they align with what actually happens on the beach. You only lock the door because you don't have a replacement. You don't have a replacement because you
They have replacement. There's a few of them out there. If they say it's my turn between 10 and 12 to man the bathroom and I go on my break, I lock the door. The rest of them who are there, they're not going there that bathroom. They're going to sit down and wait until you come back. You're on your own. And they chatter with each other until the person who's supposed to be turned comes back and starts over. I'm telling you, I watched it. I sat there and I watched it.
All right, I got you.
You understand me? So I won't go as high as the ministers because those guys change on a regular basis. I mean, if I could change them today, I would. But you understand me?
No,
so
absolutely.
Let's start with the workers who are paid monthly.
And who's supposed to be inspected.
Are not being deducted for non-performance. Who's crying for raise on a consistent basis and not performing.
Yeah, I got you.
That is where this blame need to be laid.
Who's responsible for inspecting? Who's responsible for inspecting and ensuring that these people are working?
Okay, let's get to the next call again. Thanks, dear producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
How are you all again?
Good, good.
You're talking about the bathrooms at the beaches, but I want to piggyback on that lady who just hanged up about the bathrooms on the park.
Mm-hmm.
Just about every park in the Bamboo Town constituency has a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this, Ms. Green. Tell me if this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
the young man who playing basketball on the parkway, unless somebody goes there in the night and destroy the bathroom, they're not teasing out the toilet seats and the baseboard. They're just breaking them up. I'd feel better if they steal them out and give them somebody's ass, but just to take something to just destroy them. And they're saying the government ain't doing nothing about it. Now, that could be a good job for some park warding.
Yes, park wardens.
Okay, you have some park wardens. You have the park. Now, you'll have to log the bathroom at a certain time in the night on the parks.
Well, listen, okay? Here's what
you
it
have
is.
The park,
24/7 park warden?
Because
here's what, if there's an unhoused woman living in a community, right?
Yeah.
And she living in a car with her children, right?
Yeah.
She should have access to the bathroom.
Yeah, but understand me. I understand that.
You
but
just
at
hire
point,
people.
The bathroom has to be
no,
locked
no.
up.
No, here's what I say. You in the daytime, you have a warden that patrols.
Yes.
In the nighttime, you have a warden that's stationed there.
But what I want to say in close, put what are the same name that they put around on some parks where the children could go and use their tablets and their
Wi-Fi. Things. Yeah, yeah.
When they put the Wi-Fi on the park, I thought their next move was to put some park wardens on every park. That's
yeah.
Like, you think I'm going to send my 5-year-old granddaughter out on a park for Wi-Fi and nobody there to watch her safety?
Absolutely. Now, technically, they expect you to go with your 5-year-old
no,
grandson to the park.
Five, but I, need
but I agree
to
with you.
Me.
I agree with you. But further to that, there are children. We know that there are children who are just unsupervised. They're left
but
to their
right,
own devices, and wardens should be there anyway.
And yeah. The bathrooms look so good from outside if you're passing the park.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so nice, but don't open the door to go in it.
And see, this is a part of why I'm going to row Mr. Newry right now. I'd like to thank you, sir, for giving me the weight to put on the table to Mr. Newry, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to constantly get the response that we can't have nice things because people won't let us have nice things. That cannot be an excuse.
Someone is breaking up the stuff.
In terms of Montague rooms, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I was informed that the pumps for, there's two bathrooms, one on the western side, one on the eastern side. The pumps for the bathrooms were stolen.
Someone borrowed the pumps.
Someone, and don't ever plan to return it.
Misappropriation.
Right. Yes. One pump has been repaired. One pump has been replaced. Nice. One bathroom is working. The second one isn't. It's not sufficient. The cleanup men, the fishermen, the people coming off the charters at the dock, they walk straight to the bathroom and can't use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
The space requires both bathrooms. But here's the point I'm making. People are going to break things up. That's what they do. You can't then tell me, well, Miss Green, your community can't have a bathroom because the people breaking up the bathroom. You can't even prove to me that the people are from the community
who's breaking up the bathroom
to tell me your own people don't like nice things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. The people break it up, you repair it, and then you implement a policy to prevent it getting broken up again. You hire security guards. You train them to be park wardens. You vet them. Right, with the Ministry of Youth Sports and Education vetting system and Ministry of National Security so that they can be to supervise a space where kids are, not supervise kids, a space where kids are. And then when dark falls, a warden is assigned to the bathroom can remain open, available to the most vulnerable people who need it. You can't cut off access because some people have bad mind.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello.
Go ahead. Just get truck called. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Something happened, 52.
Yeah.
Two calls drop one time.
Again, a couple of things. I go to the House of Assembly occasionally, right? All the ministers there, you know, in meetings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the mail room, I go to the mail room. No detergent to wash your hand with, nothing to dry your hand with. I sometimes have to go to the receptionist again, hand towel to dry my hand in. The straw market, nothing in there, no soap or anything in there.
Mm-hmm.
On Rawson, they say it's locked. Okay,
yeah.
So Newry, Aaron, gotta continue talking to you. You out of line. Big time.
That's all right.
Not only that.
Brayman, it's cool. He got it cool. Don't watch nothing, Brayman. I got him.
Not only that. right here in the neighborhood where I live, I would pay to have my yard clean up. And today, yeah. people throwing all kind of beer balls, all kind of stuff on my premises, okay?
Yes, Bremen. I seen it. I seen it myself.
Like I said, but I think we culturally nasty. Bremen just said people throwing things inside this yard.
It's deep.
That's okay. Over at your point.
my point. But let's go to the next caller, Aaron. Let's go to the next caller. Go
Bremen, ahead, caller. I stand in with you, Bremen.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller girl once. No, caller get dropped.
Sorry, we miss you, caller.
I see I get a text here. It says, blessings, Master Historian Brother C.A. Nuri. Blessings, Lady Green, Chikchani Queen, and Madam Kenra Nuri. I am extra loving the show today in regards to being culturally nasty. I am not sure if Bahamians are culturally nasty people. Perhaps they may be a tiny bit lazy, lackadaisical folks. Sigh, they are just like those people that really tied up the boat that triggered the Alabama brawl. Bahamians seem to have a somewhat entitled attitude or mindset. They think they can just trash or dump things, or somebody else must pick it up or clean up behind them. Now, back to the Alabama brawl dialogue for a little bit. Man, you know I cringe when you all mention race war. It's not just starting. Believe it or not, the so-called race war started years ago, decades ago. Go watch multiple old news clippings concerning corrupt white police or law enforcement officers deliberately mistreating or mishandling black people deliberately. You even have many corrupt white law enforcement officers casually calling themselves race soldiers, some even stating that they purposely became law enforcement just to deliberately do what they do. Soldiers go to war. Why would law corrupt law enforcement officers call themselves race soldiers if they didn't already see or deem or feel that they are already in a... Think about it for a reason or for a moment. Don't take my word for it. Go watch all of the old news videos, clippings from 1980s, 1990s, 2000 and up until the present day, 2023, highlighting corrupt anti-black racist cop bust. So I just want to put that in the record. Yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
I think I read from a texter that there was a Trump rally in the area recent, like a few days prior to the incident happening. But I see we got a caller on the line.
Yes.
Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good day. How are you?
Go ahead. I'm doing well.
That's great. My fellow Zaka, everything good?
Oh, as well. How you doing?
Your Zaka people don't stop.
So I want to comment on...
Ain't nobody else in the room, caller?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing this day?
Man. Go ahead.
Greetings from the QC Comments.
And
St. Anne's.
And the St. Andrews, 1980s.
Okay, you good. You good with us.
Okay. So, Mr. Nuri, I want to comment on the first statement that you opened with, that Aaron came at a rebut, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we have persons who selling food on the back of trucks,
mm-hmm.
right? And you said that is nasty. Why would you want to do that? I'm in agreement with you. Why would you want to do that? So, let me give you an example. Mr. Nuri, you know my former profession.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you can say that I can speak with some level of authority on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we issue, or the government issues permits for
roadside cookouts. Vendors?
For cookouts.
Yeah.
And when they have cookouts, you're expected to engage in food handling practices.
Mm-hmm.
You are expected to get health certificates. You are expected to display your food and handle your food in a particular manner. So even if you cook, right, and you in your vehicle, what is stopping you when you reach your destination from putting the food on a table with safe dishes, with sternos, to keep the food hot, to make sure that you are engaging in HACCP principles so that you observing the 2-hour rule, the 4-hour rule, or the 6-hour rule with respect to food.
Mm-hmm.
We in the age of hand sanitizer, what is to prevent you from having those stains so that you'll be able to properly sanitize yourself between transactions, handling mm-hmm. money? I've heard persons say, and I've been schooled on this, on many occasions, but I want to say this publicly. You could be wearing gloves and say that your hands are clean, but if you are not engaged in proper food handling practices while wearing that glove, you can still cause somebody to get sick.
In fact,
it makes sense you wearing that glove and engaging in improper food and then once something caused me to get sick.
Yeah, in fact, you can't just wear the glove. You have to be changing gloves constantly,
exactly.
Not just between customers, but between dishes.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. So your point is not lost at all, right? The point I was making was not that practice is okay, but to give the reason why people opt to sell out of the back of their car. I'm going to say good morning and shout out to the whole health certificate team on Meeting Street.
Thank you very much, Carla.
All of the nurses. And I want you all to know that the classes are awesome. They are culturally applicable, right? They are. Don't feel like you're not smart enough to go to the course. The facilitators, they are compassionate. They practice empathy. They ain't going to embarrass you, right? But they're stern because you are handling food.
But I want to ask it.
Hold on, I can finish. First, to respond to the caller, the first thing is this. They intend to sell out in 2 hours. You worried about the 2-hour rule. My plan, sir, is when I get to this work site, I selling out in 2 hours. There's no need for that because I ain't gonna have no food left when I'm done. The second thing is this, is that if I take all my food out of the back of the car and set up a table, then surely the police will know what I doing, and I can't just pack up and drive off like I only stopped to hand my cousin some food. That's the next thing. Also, some of the places, then this is about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
We encouraging entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. right, through various means and lack of means, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no real spaces created for people to be able to pull up and set up properly. So
in
if you're selling on
Aaron,
the dock, if
the
you're selling on an open
Aaron,
park, the wind...
There's going to be an outbreak.
Listen, the wind...
And when that outbreak happens, Aaron, Princess Margaret Hospital won't be able to service them. More than 20 people rush to the Princess Margaret Hospital. We have a crisis.
Listen...
We can't service 20 people.
Have a problem with making a distinction between roadside food vendors, established brick-and-mortar vendors, food truck vendors, right, which is separate from brick and mortar and separate from roads. It's a very responsible conversation that we have in Mr. Newry. I don't want you to think that I dissing in that sense.
I understand.
But I have a critique to put down, which is that let us not forget, there is a system in place. And the same way that we have inspectors that go to businesses to inspect, they find these people on the road, they could stop and inspect them as well. So if you know you have a culture of roadside vending and you know the culture is potentially going out of control, assign inspectors to go out on the road and make sure that people are safe.
So this is the next thing I want to ask you and Mrs. Nuri. Is there still a place for public pump? You know, the outside water pump on the side of the road? And
the problem is
that a trappings of a third world country?
No.
Or should we move to making sure that everybody... Every landlord have inside plumbing, or do we now have a duty of care to install outside or this roadside pumps?
Okay, so interesting point. Watch this, Mr. Newry. We have universal access to water, and there's a universal reason why. Because just because you can't afford to pay your water bill doesn't mean you don't need access to water. In fact, the community needs you to have access to water, whether you could pay your water bill or not. We need you to be healthy, clean, and safe so the community can stay healthy, clean, and safe. So communities where people have indoor plumbing still need access to community pumps. The problem isn't the pump. The problem is the lack of proper maintenance and oversight of and regulation of the pump and pump usage. There should be CCTV camera available. Constituency people should be monitoring it to make sure that people aren't collecting water for commercial purposes, like filling water tanks to sell water to other people, filling water tanks for their boat when they know they're going on a commercial boating venture. That's what you do. You monitor it. You don't remove the facility because of bad mind and they're using it the wrong way. You ensure that it's used the right way. You prevent it from being used the wrong way.
I see we have another caller here, Miss Nuri. Quiet.
No, y'all ain't giving me chances.
No, you didn't jump in.
You get jumping. I'm not used to jumping into discussions.
I can put some mango in my mouth.
Okay. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes,
yeah, go ahead. We talking about, see, with fish fry, I think what the government should have done, and we do teams football, political game, and then it come back to haunt us. When they build fish fry, they should allow those vendors to install to a restroom inside all of those restaurants. Because what is, if it's raining and somebody get maybe ill and they want to use a restroom? You mean to tell me they got to run through the rest, through the rain to go to the bathroom? No. As we're moving into the first world century, 50 years now we celebration, government should either contract that building out to somebody and let them run that building outside fish fry, that you can have the proper toilet tissues, the soap, and the thing like that for the customer that is who's on the outside. But the patron who's on the inside eating, when these people want to use a bathroom crick, come on, man. We can't do things, you know, like, hey,
haphazard the way that Arawaki evolved.
We got to do this in a sensible way.
Yeah.
I lived in Europe more than 10 years, and I never had a free bathroom. Okay. Never had a free bathroom. You always had to pay to use the restroom. And it didn't matter if it was a restaurant or pub or a public space. Mm-hmm. There were bathrooms. And if you wanted to use it, you made sure you had your pound coin in your hand to drop in to use the toilet. And so that included...
You believe that we should move toward paying to use bathrooms facilities?
Listen, we wouldn't have all these problems that you're talking about. We definitely have a revenue-generating system whereby the monies that are used to use the bathroom will be used to ensure that there is proper persons to man it, to maintain it, and to have all the necessary requirements of a bathroom.
And see,
before you walk on to
go on.
I don't try to overtalk. Give me a chance. Because I had to write down all these other things that I wanted to say. The food vending situation. I love the idea of the general food space that was at next to Dundas.
Yeah, the food park.
That food park was a brilliant idea because it housed so many different variety of food vendors. It gave persons an opportunity for entrepreneurship, which you and I all are encouraging because that's what stimulates the economy. Mm-hmm. People used to look forward to do that. They also have there as well as a family outing, as well as having the ability to have different kinds of food. So I love the idea of having food trucks and that kind of avenue. But those selling out the back trunk of the car, you really need to reserve that for dropping it off your cousin. I think that that's...
Oh, yeah. No.
I for that.
But I think it's important to understand how it evolved to that point.
Shout out to Patricia Claire on her birthday. She is the PLP chairperson. It's her birthday today. Patricia Claire, love you, sis. Happy birthday.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back while we continue this discussion. Well, we are culturally... I forget. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Mike, you know what's going on tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool enough.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and...
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report about what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the call go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Call 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform, oh Lord, and I gotta buy snacks too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever Back to School Snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is favorite Solomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
Grab your camera, capture the spirit of the Bahamas, and win cash and prizes. Scotiabank, in partnership with the Guardian Media Group, invites all youth, amateur, and professional photographers to enter the Celebrate Bahamas 50 Photography Competition, being held under the theme One Nation, One Legacy, Our Future. With more than $8,000 in cash to be won, snap those photos and send them in by August 30th. Real.com or bs.scotiabank.com to find out how to enter. Let's celebrate our proud nation in photos. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to Garden Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're having a mash-up Wednesday man down. Of course, we have Aaron Green inside studio with me. And of course, we have Miss Kenra Nuri in studio with me. And we're talking whether the Bahamas is culturally nasty. Nowadays, we are moving to having restaurants which you could have gone inside the order. Now having you outside, where out next to the street, where the fumes and everything, to order a sandwich. Let me make this point. Also, we now have people living in our well fields, right? Defecating in our well fields, and we're not seemingly complaining about that, right? We now have cars on top of cars in residential areas. Six-story cars pile up, right? The gas and the diesel leaking into our waterways. And I'm saying, are we culturally nasty because we allow these things? And of course, Aaron and I have an exchange on that and having a conversation on whether it's the people or whether it's government that is allowing these things. So this is where the conversation is. Go ahead, Aaron.
Absolutely. I think it's unfair to blame people for systems that are larger than them and that they have no control over, right? I should not be expected to install a porta potty in my community. Not me, who a two-bedroom with six people, five people, not me who can't afford a car and could only catch the bus to work and back and have to hustle ride if they ever put me on the graveyard shift, right? Not me. I shouldn't be expected to be responsible for that. There are some things that the state has an obligation to ensure are in place. That don't mean that they actually have to put it in place, but they have to ensure that it's accessible and it's available to the people. I agree with you. It's unsafe to be selling food out of the back of a car. I'll also be honest with you, though, some of the best food I ever had is out of the back of a car.
Yes.
And I have seen advances in the back of the car movement where people have matriculated to vans that they've outfitted with racks that can stabilize pans and that can stabilize heating stations, right? And so the food could be sitting on a warmer while this person is driving from location to location. And so we just say people organize, strategize, and remember that the onus is ultimately on you to be in alignment with the current regulations and policies.
I receive another caller here, Patrick Caller through producer, and you still didn't give your commentary on whether the government should implement free water in shanty towns to make sure everyone stay healthy and clean, but you didn't comment on it. But I'll come back to that. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning again, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
Boy, look here. I think those food vendors in the back of the trunk, they should stop that. I had a serious, long time ago. Mm-hmm. I had a serious food poisoning.
What'd you eat?
Man, I had some nice peas and rice, macaroni, my favorite potato salad with chicken.
Okay, it's against the law to eat potato salad from out the back of a car.
All right.
You can't get no recourse from the courts for that. Then right, you decide to risk your life.
That's barricade.
A long time ago, but no.
That don't make no difference. You don't know when they make that.
I agree now. It made a difference to me. Man, look here. I thought I would die.
Listen, we have an issues. On that note, we have an issues with food establishments serving... I mean, brick-and-mortar food establishments serving food from the day before. So with condiments and things like that, you got to be careful.
But they need to stop it, though. What I'm saying, they needed to ban that motion, selling food from their car.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good at all.
I am not against that. And as soon as we do that, ensure that the constituency offices are working to identify spaces that their constituents can use to set up, to sell food, right? And because here's what you do. People go and they park up at high traffic places. They go into a construction site. Why? Because the boy can't leave. They can't leave for too long. Mm-hmm. They're not driving themselves, right? And so what you do is you set up in the constituency area that's been outfitted for you with access to power strip and the porta potty setup, washing station. You send your runner. You send your runner to the construction site and you let the runner take orders and take money and you come back and you put the food together and you send it construction site. And that way we could wake.
I have a text here that says, yes, yay. There is a spirit of nastiness in many Bahamians. Many will take their nastiness over the hill and leave it on the beaches. Just drive through some streets and look at the dirty yards. Go to Marshall Road and see the garbage dump alongside the road.
People come in from the Eastern Road Ridge. Mm-hmm. They come in from the Eastern Road Ridge. These fancy people who could afford garbage come into the Eastern Road Ridge. That's what you're all talking about?
I know, but my point is something is wrong, and we need to address what it is. Someone's supposed to be responsible for cleaning up their communities, and it not necessarily should be government.
Okay. I with you on that. Government's job is not to walk behind people and pick up trash as they drop it. Government's job is to ensure that infrastructure is in place for people to take care of their own needs. But I think we're missing out. It draws us back to the Alabama brawl. People are in crisis. People are in crisis. People are living in poverty. They live in abject poverty. They live in... Cecil, take your phone outside.
Go ahead.
They live in abject poverty. They're living under conditions and circumstances that render them unable to perform at the level we think they're supposed to perform. And these are the things we're talking about. Imagine you a child. Your whole life you grew up in a community where you have to use outdoor toilet to urinate, to defecate, to bathe even, right? And so your whole life you've been brought up in this sort of culture where there's no boundaries. You live in a space where you ain't got your own bedroom, you're a girl, you don't get your own place to sleep. It's not like you sharing a bed with other girls, you sharing a bed with whoever's spending the night in the house, right?
Mm-hmm. That lead to other things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And now you in high school, you focusing on your education, everybody else around you telling you you've reached the age of maturity where you have value beyond your education, and they encouraging you to sell your body, right? You growing up in this space of extreme pressure and stress, and you don't have the resort. You don't even have a garbage in your bathroom for when you're menstruating, right? Because the people in the household can't afford it. And every time you spend your little money you make from going to the food store to collect tips, somebody take it. You have no control over the things in your own home. And you waking as a child to buy these things after you give your mummy money to take care of bills, right? People are living under circumstances that the people who are making the rules no longer understand. In fact, they don't want to understand it. They don't want to practice empathy. They don't want to connect to the lived experiences of the people who they're supposed to be governing. And that's what's nasty. Because the circumstances that people are living in, there are other people who have an obligation to help them improve said circumstances. That's what's about us.
So as we have our last 5 minutes, let me get Ms. Nuri involved. Solutions. I believe we have a culture of nastiness, right? Aaron believed that the system needs to be corrected to solve. So let's now consider some solutions. What do you think we need to be doing now to move us from having these issues? Cars along the streets, makeshift shanty type street vendors selling food items, right? How do we move from that? Or is there a need to change that? Perhaps that's something that mindset. We should embrace.
It's a mindset. I mean, you could be living in a lap of luxury and still have that mindset of being nasty. I mean, you find incest happening in all kinds of homes, whether they're poor, rich, or whatever. So it I think it comes down to mindset. It's no one cookie-cutter solution, unfortunately. We take in a little bit of that from different cultures and try and implement it, but we have to find something that's uniquely Bahamian to deal with certain things. People try and put democracy in a certain box and say it has to be this way. Well, African democracy is different from American democracy and Bahamian democracy. Mm-hmm. So just to give you that idea, mm-hmm. you can't solve that. I mean, the only way is to try and find solutions. Let's work together. I think that's our problem. We're always downplaying and pulling each other apart. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're spending all of this money on education. Where are those children who are learning all of these things about town planning and how to come up with solutions, social studies? How? Where are they?
Where are the programs to help them model what they've learned?
Where? Exactly. You've mm-hmm. learned this. You did a paper on this. Bring it back. We want to use it. We didn't educate you just so that you could say, I am Dr. So-and-so-and-so.
And parents.
We need you.
And parents, you educate your children to empower them. Empower them by enabling them to bring their ideas to life.
Exactly. And community. Listen. Your papers and doctors behind your name, but if nobody is prepared to listen and to listen to with understanding, because those are two different concepts, mm-hmm. we need to respect each other's opinions. We mm-hmm. need to be able to sit around the table and come up with ideas and solutions and not tear each other down.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I think that is paramount. Persons could have stayed, but we're here. Mm-hmm. We came back to build up our communities. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to be.
Anyway, it's time to go. I see this last text says, you need city pumps because people tend to put chlorine tablets in well water. And I appreciate that.
And you wouldn't let me talk about the traffic fatality or how the people who was paving
tomorrow.
The sidewalk.
Slow down.
In
tomorrow.
The flood.
Slow down.
They
were
paving
fast.
The sidewalk in
tomorrow.
The flood water, Nuri.
Tomorrow.
Stop driving so fast.
Guided here in the AM with CA Nuri. Have a wonderful day.